pause the end of the contact.
I'd press record. You've ruined the start now. It's the big show. Yes, we're here to discuss the week in technology. What a fantastic week it's been. You can now find somewhere to store your credit cards if you own a Samsung Note 4. And...
besides a wallet.
And Windows 10 is here. And taking us through it is going to be one of our team. And I think you know which one it is as well. And I expect a review to be up very shortly. Joining me to discuss the week in technology, the best panel. The best panel by a long, long streak. Starting us off, who is it? It's Kelly, but the problem is, no, I've got all the screens the wrong way around on Wirecast, so I can't tell which one to click for Kelly. So here you go. Let's have that screen for a minute. And right, it's Kelly.
Hey.
How you doing, girl?
I'm glad to know that I'm on such an epic panel that it has just stunned you into cluelessness.
No, I don't need to be stunned into cluelessness. Jesus.
It's going to be generous. Names, couldn't it, Ewan?
It folds out naturally by itself. But umptish. How are you been, girl?
Not bad, eh? How about you?
Not bad, eh? Are you from Canada?
No.
Hey.
I've been watching a lot of BBC television, though. So.
What, they don't say A? Doctor
There's
Who,
a? A? There's a fair amount of A in Luther.
Oh, okay. What's been happening? Are you got into a bit of a spat today?
Yeah, I got...
Started
took the opportunity to put on pants today. They are ranty pants, and clearly I wore them well, according to... the other two people on the podcast with me. I just want to say, put out there for a moment that the reason that this is such an epic panel today, and you should keep this in mind for future shows. I hope I'm not giving anything away here.
You're going to tell me it's because two show. Girls. It's just
that's a good point, Kelly.
It's breaking up the sausage. That's all you're saying, isn't it?
Is that code?
A breaking the sausage. The key to a great show is a breaking the sausage. Well, I'll have you know, young lady, we had an all-sausage panel last week and it was fantastic.
I would say the best shows are probably no sausage.
It was so sausage. It was nearly a
with you.
It was nearly a Cumberland ring by itself.
Oh, no.
Jeff, I do think that's code.
And talking of Cumberland rings, okay. Righty boy, how the devil are you?
Hello, mate. How are you?
I'm good, mate. What's been going on in Norwich land?
Well, you know, as we've been discussing, you know, a pub for every day of the year, a church for every day of the year. You're sorted, aren't you?
Good, mate. I can't wait.
You know what? You know what I've been doing?
Drinking heavily. Yeah. And microwave
forgiveness.
And microwaving your router earlier.
Apparently so. Yes. Apparently, you can't have your microwave on an adjacent wall to your router because it will ruin your bandwidth.
What's surprising about that, and what was worrying about that was the fact that you knew what it was when you went outside and heard the popcorn popping.
Tech brain, see?
See, that's why you solve problems at Norwich University.
We solve University problems, don't you?
Do be solving problems, good boy. next to him is Doc, Mr. Etcher.
God. I'm losing it, because I'm trying to see, to us, a router is a thing that you use to clean the toilet. And a router is a thing that you use to send internet packets where you want internet packets to go. Yeah. So I was like, why would the hell would you microwave a freaking toilet cleaner or an auger if you want the actual term? But yeah.
There's no W in router. Like, that's when it's a router. If there's actually, that's not true, because if you route a piece of wood, that's spelt the same way.
No, you're right.
And you really win it.
And I think the only reason why we say it that way is because we have these big blue signs with H1 or H2 or I-95 or whatever it is, or in Route 66, but they say Route 66, or you say Route 1 or Route 99. And since a box that's designed to move your internet down the internet superhighway down the right lanes of the highway, we use the same as the highway term, aka a router.
Yeah, but hang on, Doc. You've shot yourself in the foot.
I just messed it up.
You shot.
I was going to say it's that way because Roto Router is the name of the place that will come and dig out
Roto
your toilet.
Roto Router is the name that sends your troubles down the drain.
Right, now, yeah. Doc, you've shot yourself in the foot, because where do you get your kicks?
Route 66.
Thank you!
Yeah, so Doc spent all that time setting that up just to prove us wrong. Thanks, Doc.
Yeah, see? You get your kicks on Route 66. And Doc's right. Yeah. I thought I had Doc for a minute there and there was a puzzled look on his face, but actually his video's frozen. I should have known better, shouldn't I, really?
He could just be stuck with the puzzled look on his face. That's entirely likely. You're 50-50 at this point.
Talking of puzzled looks, Jeffrey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. And I so dropped into this call at exactly the right time.
Well, it wasn't a party till you were here.
All the casual whatever that's boring stuff had already happened. And by the time I stepped in, it was a full-on party.
Yeah, we were talking about Kelly's Spinal Tap stuff up until this point.
Full-on party.
There we go. I never got Spinal Tap, I have to admit. How's the...
Blasphemy!
How's Jeff in the life of sex toys?
I'm doing good right now. Have you
bench tested any?
No, no one has sent me any to bench test yet. But as soon as they do, I'll let you know.
Are we with pants today or sans pants?
You know, I'm not going to say because this is how I keep the mystery in our relationship, Sarah.
Absolutely. Okay. There we go. Speed test is an entirely different thing for Jeff.
Yes, it is.
Kelly, you've had your bit. Don't worry. Ms. Sarah Jane, I haven't seen you in like 2 months, woman.
Yeah, I know. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, your video's frozen as well. I don't know what's
going on. Oh, not again.
Yeah, no, never mind. At least it's frozen on a decent look this time as opposed to the last one.
Yes. Let's hope that doesn't happen during the recording again.
So how's it been in the last 2 months? Because I haven't seen you.
I've had a bit of a torrid time in the last six months.
Yes, I know. We have spoken on Twitter. But
hopefully things are on the mend now. So
good.
And, yes, things seem to be looking a bit brighter. So. Excellent. That's good. Hopefully you can get back to normal, which would be good.
It would be good. Right. Unless anyone's got a review of the Galaxy Note 4, which I don't think anyone has here, I think we should start with Windows 10. Righty boy, start us off on your epic tale of your journey into Windows 8.2.
So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10.
So
here it is.
Oh, he's got it. He's got it in front of him. Look at it.
It is running. It's running on my main laptop. Here it is. It is Windows 10.
Is that the Andromeda Galaxy off OS 10?
And
so obviously it came out yesterday. I sat there with my long-suffering wife sitting there while I was going, damn you bloody internet, why won't you download while every bugger was trying to download it? But I've installed it. And well, Go back a little bit, because obviously with that Windows 8 and 8.1, 8 and 8.1 were a travesty as far as I'm concerned with the, you know, trying to enforce a kind of touchscreen interface onto desktops with keyboards.
It was ahead of its time.
But the desktop end was pretty decent. When you went to desktop and you installed things like Classic Shell and turned off all the charms, or that, it was pretty decent. It was a pretty decent desktop operating system. Obviously, they've now realized that that's what everyone wanted, because the whole enterprise kind of missed Windows 9. Obviously, I worked for enterprise and we missed Windows 8 completely, wondering what Windows 9 was going to be. But I've installed...
Oh, no, we'll never know. Oh, everyone's frozen. Oh, bollocks. Patoo! Here we go again.
So Skype broke?
Yeah, don't ask me any tough questions.
You have an incoming call from Paul Wright.
Okay.
Hello. Just to kill five birds with one stone, the answer to your question is no f***ing idea.
Okay.
Okay.
I wasn't going to ask.
Oh, there we go.
Okay.
Glad that one down, Kieran.
Oh, mate. Are we...
You know what? The best bit of this, I have to say, is that every once in a while, I try in vain to reload the live stream page so I can have some idea of what people are seeing. And every once in a while, I get the best screenshot.
Oh, go on. Put it in the chat room.
And this one is you looking off to one side, looking sort of confused, and every screen behind you has nobody on it.
Fuck me. You can get that most weeks, girl.
Nice.
Just you and 5 Skype windows and it's cracking.
I saw that too, Kelly, just before it went the second time.
It's making me laugh. Okay.
Right, hang on. Apparently, they do be getting nothing.
That's right. It's still showing, and there was an error playing this video in live stream.
Mm-hmm. Someone needs to put another quarter into the live stream to get it to work. Or well, no, this is a UK show, so put another tuppence in the live stream.
Something that looks like Ewan explaining his manhood, because his hands is right above that microphone, and he's doing one of these numbers, and everyone else is looking away, right? He's scratching his head, going, no, he's not talking to me.
Live stream producer.
I see that now too.
What's that say?
Doc, you're really quiet for some reason.
What?
You're really quiet. Oh, no, you're not so quiet now. When you looked at the microphone, you suddenly got louder. That's strange.
Yeah, it's funny, yeah? Because I was...
That's so weird.
That is kind of crazy.
This, I got to say, doing this show is like taking an Irish wolfhound for a walk. It's actually quite fun, but you spend a lot of time picking up shit.
Yeah.
Right, E.
Where was I?
Windows 10, and you wrote about it.
You'd finished.
Yeah, I've gone off it now.
You'd finished. You were
No, that was all my enthusiasm. That's gone. I'm done. I'm spent.
Right. So no, you counted up to 10 with omitting 9. And then you said that you were swearing at the wife because it wouldn't download, and then you cut off. So go back to there.
And there you go. That's all you need to know.
Maybe.
Okay.
So what were you going to say next, Righty, is what I'm suggesting.
Right, okay. So I just pretend I'm professional and just go in?
Yeah, I can edit.
Okay,
edit. I won't, but I can.
You're not going to. You never edit.
I never edit.
Okay, leave this bit in. 3, 2, 1. So obviously they're choking a little bit, aren't they? Because they've taken a bit of a back step. Because the one thing they've done, which everyone said they should do, is bring back the old start menu. But I don't know if you can see it on here. That's a really bad screenshot. But they've brought back the start menu, but to kind of, to appease people, but to appease themselves, they've crammed the bloody live tiles into the start menu.
So yeah,
the original start menu, but then you've got, so the start menu basically takes up like a third of the screen now.
Well, show the screen, dude.
Show you, okay.
Do you still have to click start to stop your computer?
Yeah.
Sure. See, that's a really bad, that's a really, really reflective screen to do that. But if you look online at the videos, you've got the normal start menu you used to have like in Windows 7, but you've kind of got like another, the same width again of the live tiles. So you've got like mail and you can arrange them like you can like on Windows Phone and Windows 8. And I think it's a huge climb down for them because I think they're right to admit they're wrong because I was watching the is it Joe Bell Fury? Is the chap who's the head of design or development, whatever. And there's a bit in the video where he actually says, we had to, and a little bit of sick comes up, and he goes, bring back the start menu. And I think they really didn't, because I don't know if it's because they didn't realize, they didn't listen to people, because like Windows 8 went through the same sort of kind of beta program and all that, and people were going, lack of start menu is rubbish. People, not everyone has a touchscreen device, especially at the point that Windows 8 came out. People didn't all have touchscreen device or hybrids. So when you put the Metro screen in front of people, it didn't work with the keyboard and the mouse. And now apparently what they're saying is what Windows 10 will do is if you are on a touchscreen device, it will give you the Metro interface. And if you're on a desktop, it will give you a desktop interface, which is what they were meant to do in the first place. And what it kind of sounds like, it's kind of like, you remember when Vista came out and it was a pile of you-know-what? And then 7 came out, that was what we were waiting for. It's kind of like 8 was Vista and Windows 10 is Windows 7.
I could just imagine that that when they had that meeting to discuss what they were going to ship, with Windows 8, the techies probably said to them, what you just described, boys, how we should put it out. so that those so that it basically supports both platforms. And probably higher up, and I'm not going to say name names because I don't want to slander anybody, said, no, we need to go the touch route. Everyone else is in the touch route. That's what we got to do.
Well, I think it's ahead of its time.
That was the big mistake.
Yeah. But I think that's ahead of its time because I think touch will be the de facto interface at some
point. I agree.
But was Windows 8 a rush response to the iPad?
Yeah. And I think that's the problem is that they tried to go all in on touch way earlier than it was realistic for them to do it.
I bet the techies there probably were the ones that said, explained how they should do it. It was exactly like Paul just described is what they've done with Windows 10. Because the capability is there to do it in Windows 8. But they just decided not to do that by default, which was stupid.
Am I right in saying that 7 should have been 6?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, and there was never a 5. No, they went from NT4 to Windows 95.
And there was no Windows 2 either, apparently.
Well, apparently there is.
Oh, go on.
Well, when I saw this, being a techie, I thought, okay, is it Windows 10 or is it Windows 2?
Yeah, well, it's a binary joke, apparently, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, it's not.
All right, so basically to sort out Windows version numbers, I need a slide rule and a TARDIS.
Yes.
Right, hang on. Now, I'm all aware that we're probably, apart from Sarah, we're all Mac users, but we're not going to get into a Windows bashing thing. Because I'm going
I'm just confused.
No, I'm the one that's going to get the frigging email. So,
it's just confusing.
That's right. But then I can say anything.
It went from Windows 95 to Windows 98 to Vista, which wasn't, an ME is, squished in there somewhere that everyone tries to forget. It's just more Microsoft math. I have the same problem. I have a Windows laptop. I use it on a semi-regular basis. And I have this, and this is the problem I always have with Microsoft and numbers. You have 8 updates, so I install 4 of them. Now I have 12 updates.
But I will save the conversation because I'm a Mac and a Windows user, and I will say that one Windows 10 is technical release is a solid operating system.
Good.
And I'll probably get the email from this, but obviously I use OS 10 for all my kind of day-to-day kind of things. But if I'm doing anything productive, I go to Windows. Every single time, and that's why I brought it to the thing. And Windows 7, as far as I'm concerned, Windows 7 is the best operating system ever invented because it is just so stable. But that might be more because I'm an enterprise guy and we use that. But using this for the last 24 hours, obviously this is just the first release of this, and this is going to get better and better. But I think it could be a real threat, and I have real respect for Microsoft to step back. And and they've admitted without saying they're wrong, they've admitted it by going back to the start menu and some of the snap. Because the one thing I'd love to have in iOS, the thing you have in Windows 7 and Windows 8 is a snap where you can drag one screen to one side that resizes and drag one screen to the other side. On OS 10, that drives me absolutely mental because I have two screens that are kind of floating around. It just drives me absolutely mental to have two screens that snap absolutely perfectly and work around. And in Windows 10, when you snap one screen to one side, it actually makes smart suggestions now. So if you snap one Excel to one side, okay, you probably snap this other Excel to the other side, and it's really clever. So productivity-wise, it's actually a really good operating system. And I think they've actually taken on board the criticisms of Windows 8 and 8.1, good. And they've actually said, we did get it wrong. And I think they should have some sort of respect for actually admitting that and putting that out as a new operating system.
I hope that they do. I really liked Windows 7. It seemed like it was all of the stuff in XP that sort of settled down and got really solid and then got updated. It was a little faster. Things were a little perkier. It wasn't trying to overhaul everything. And I just feel like with Windows 8, I respected what they were trying to do, but it was really too far a reach for a lot of people. And a lot of people use Windows. And if you're going to give all of those people, an operating system that's supposed to be familiar to them, and the one thing that everybody knows about Windows is that it has a start menu, and you take that away, like, they could have done some other stuff, and then eventually, maybe at Windows 10, the start menu would leave, because people are now familiar with this new interface. But, like, when I first installed Windows 8, I installed the consumer preview on my laptop, and I went, how do I do anything? And there was absolutely no way to figure it out. And so I nuked it, and I went back to 7, and I've been very happy there ever since.
Yeah, I think that's probably what a lot of people have done and why they've stuck to 7 and certainly have in the enterprise area.
Yeah. But a lot of people say that obviously the apps they use the most, they pin to the taskbar, you know, the thing they use most regularly. But the start menu, I heard someone say today, it's their safety net, because the start menu is that thing of when you don't know where something is, the start menu is your safety net to go and find that thing you can't find. Precisely. And I think that's the thing Windows that people are familiar with. Better,
and my laptop will run it. I don't have a fairly recent machine. If it'll run it, I'm happy to try it out. Like I said, I jumped in on the consumer preview of Windows 8 because I really wanted to see what Microsoft was up to, and I'm really curious where this is going to go.
Doc,
you know what's funny? Reddy is talking about the Snap thing. After playing with it on my Xbox One, and I know it's not exactly the same, but it's pretty epic on Xbox. And so getting the laser cutter, you know, last week and having to run a Windows machine because the Mac driver for my laser cutter is a little bit in beta. So it was kind of making me mad. So I fired up the old Asus, which I have laying around here. And I use that on Windows 7, but I also have it so I can boot it into Windows 8. And I have to say, even just going from 7 to 8 is a little disconcerting. And it's not because I'm a Mac guy. I have been bisexual for a long time. For those who don't know, I run a computer consulting business. I do a lot of work in the Windows side. I just don't choose that as my day-to-day operating system. I choose that as my money-making operating system because those customer crap. So I have to say, Snap is epic, and everything should have a way of doing Snap. And so now I want to play with 10 just to see how much better Snap is, because Snap's already cool. I think it's awesome setup, yeah.
Well, Snap, the way Snap works now is when you snap, obviously, if you've got multiple windows open now, so if you snap one, it minimizes all of your windows. So then you get like 3 or 4 windows. You can then click on the one you want to snap to the other side, but it does intelligent suggestions of the one it thinks, but if it's not the one, you click on it, and it
snaps. Yeah, see, that's epic.
That for productivity, that's brilliant. Like that.
The other thing is just a point, for somebody mentioned it, I know it's part of the joke, but just so nobody gets confused, Windows 2 did exist. And I know this because I was of age back then. It was basically, I say October, November 1987, and then there was a weird short run, like 2X, that came out somewhere in mid-88. But the real big push was Windows 3. And I only know that because I worked at Radio Shack, and the machines used, the Tandy RS-1000 machines used to come with Windows 2.0.
Oh, Tandy.
Wow. Yeah, I know. Radio Shack. In trouble these days.
Yeah, the Shack, as we call it.
Chat room showing a lot of love for 7. There's a bit of an erection section going on for 7.
Despite what Paul said, I think the best version of Windows was actually Windows 2000.
2000. Oh, I liked 2000 and NT. Well, there's in the chat room as well, there's love for 2000. Not so much love for ME.
The problem I found with XP and 7 to a certain extent, there's a Fisher Price effect with those versions of Windows where they try and do things for you and it just gets in the way a lot of the time.
Mm.
Yeah, I think a lot of that's gone away in 10. It is gone back to very kind of flat, very basic now. So I'll say I've only had 24 hours with it, but, you know, for a first technical preview, it's, you know, obviously it's going to improve. It's not going to ship until late 2015. But is that, you know, for a first release, I'm glad they've stepped down and said, you know, we got it wrong and we've now listened to the community. But I think, you know, the future Windows is quite bright in a way that they've been bold enough to do that.
Mm. Batwench is showing a lot of love for Windows 3.11.
Windows workgroups.
For work.
Oh, awesome.
We're still running that at work.
If you're missing Windows 3.11, the chances are the commuter chain you're riding on is running on 3.11 still.
There's a good chance of that, yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that called Windows for workgroups? Wasn't
that's
that
what right, you said, yeah. Doc, yeah.
For workgroups, yeah.
It was Windows workgroups, yeah.
I used 3.1 that was kind of the first one at work I ever used was Windows 3.1.
Yeah, it was a version of Windows I did use.
And I've still got, I think, the Windows 3.11 discs. I've got like 17 of them.
Well, that's what it takes to actually install it, right? Yeah. 17 of them.
Yeah.
I remember having a big fat stack of discs to get Windows 3.1.1 to install.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah. By 17.
And actually, Mark Shepard, XP was not the first Fisher-Price version. The first Fisher-Price version was Millennium Edition or Windows
3. Oh, don't talk to me about Millennium Edition.
Because they had that stupid Bob character in the corner with the glasses that was supposed to be trying to help you do crap. And that thing just did not work. So actually, I'm gonna call bullocks on XP being the first Fisher-Price version.
Okay.
I bet there's a nuclear control room as well still running on 3.11. Yeah.
And you've heard the bad joke about why it's called Windows 10, haven't you?
What?
Go on.
It's 9.
Because 7, 8, 9?
Yeah, see? Told you it's a bad joke.
Oh, God.
Alrighty, okay. I'm going to go do another podcast right now. See you guys.
serious question in the chat room, I think, maybe from Bookery. Will there be a Windows Phone 9 now there hasn't been a Windows 9? That's a great question.
No, because they're combining the operating systems, aren't they?
It's all going to run 10.
No. They're going back to the, apparently from what I hear, they're going back to the Windows Mobile brand, and RT and Phone will merge. That's the rumor that RT and Phone will merge, and that will be the mobile operating system, the kind of the ARM version of it, but it will be completely separate.
Now I'm confused.
I thought the whole point was that the mobile was going to be the same, and certainly the poster I saw showed all the devices from the phone up to a desktop PC actually running Windows 10.
That's what I thought. Everything was on it. Doc, you were saying?
No, I was just saying, you know how they have like Windows Home and Windows Ultimate and Windows Platinum, right? So if you have Windows Phone, well, they have, you know, and then something have Windows RT, so they should have Windows ET, which is the Windows Phone Home Edition.
Have you been rehearsing that all day, Doc?
No, I've been listening to Righty's joke. And Righty, how come Righty can do it?
He's waited for this. For real, yo.
Doc, what did you bring as a story, dude?
Okay, so this is kind of something that I've been playing with for a minute.
Doc's frozen. Everyone's frozen.
And then
Doc, stop.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you? Everything just froze again. Are we back? Are we broadcasting?
That's a giant bucket of awesome.
Yes, hello.
That's better. Jeff's in, but Kelly's not. Is there a reason that you want to go next, Sarah?
The reason I said that was because mine is also about a new operating system.
Oh, we'll come back to you. Doc, go ahead, mate. Start all over.
Okay. So, hoping not to tread on any of Jeff Gamma's territory, I'd like to talk about a new car that I'm very interested in. About a year ago when I bought my car, I was thinking about picking up a Tesla, but I thought it was a little bit too early. I needed to wait, right? So, as you know, Tesla already has the Model S, and Tesla already has the Model T. So the rumors had been for a long time that Elon was going to name the next one after himself, and it was going to be the Tesla Model E, which nobody thought was that big a deal until Ford's lawyers got in and realized that the brand line would be the Tesla S, the E, and the X. So rather than having the Tesla sex family, Ford basically sued Tesla and says, you're not going to call it the E. We're going to block that. It's not going to go down. So
that is so lame.
It is really so stupid, right? Because actually, I think it would have been cool to name it after Elon. But anyway, Elon dropped on us yesterday. October 9th, there will be an SUV version of a Tesla, a sport utility vehicle, and it's going to be called the D. So in order to get back at Ford's and their stupid lawyers, it basically, the headline reads, Tesla, Elon Musk teases Tesla fans with the D. That's like, take that, Ford. Like, you try to jack us. I'm still going to make it funny because he's naming it the Model D. And so everybody's going to be like, Elon Musk is busting out the big D because it will be the biggest of the Tesla family. It will be a four-wheel drive type of thing. Basically, the same wheelbase as an S, but, you know, a little bit more, I just need extra space and take up two parking kind of thing. But I'm looking forward to this because I miss, after I got rid of the X5, I missed the SUV, but I hated the gas part of it. And so getting a Tesla that is of some size, a la, you know, Range Rover, Jeremy Clarkson, I think would be kind of cool. And I'm just
that's going to be like
someone's coming out with this.
That's going to be like 3/4 battery, though.
Crazy.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt.
It's going to
no
be
doubt.
3/4 of a million.
No, it's not going to be that expensive. No. It's actually going to be cheaper than the S. From early understandings, it's going to be cheaper than the S. So I like Batwitch's comment, which is super
yeah,
funny.
No, I just got out of it's cool.
Not only did they get Ford just, you know, sort of dive out of the way of coming up with the Tesla SE and X family, now they can have the ST and D family, which is even more funny.
The Tesla STD.
That's awesome.
We have a title. Yes.
We have a title. So you know, screw you Ford execs for being lame over something stupid. And now it's going to be even worse because talking about sex is one thing. Talking about venereal disease is even worse.
Well, Apple had to do the same thing, remember?
Why?
Because okay, Jeff, I'm probably going to need to help me out on this. The Mac that shipped with a 68030 processor, because it had the 68030 processor, the designation on it was the X. So that's where like the CX and all of those came from. And then they wanted to put, so the X meant you had an 030 processor. And then they wanted to put an 030 processor in the Macintosh SE. And that's why there
oh,
is no
I forgot
SE
about
with
that.
An X designation. It is the SE30.
Well, it's funny because when you say OS X, it sounds like you say OS X anyway. So right. Like, I mean, that's why but most that of us was, say OS X because we don't want the stupid joke from the Windows people.
But you don't say, I mean, no one says OS X without getting plenty of emails about it.
Yeah, that's this what I'm saying. True. So that, I think that's where it came from. We were being protective of the brand back when we weren't, when OS X came out, we weren't, you know, on top of the food chain at the time like we are now. So I think a lot of people wanted to stop that. So that's why it became, look, all the nerds agree we're going to call it OS X.
Well, actually, it was Apple said that's what it was.
Well, Apple never called it anything but 10.
And they probably knew what you just said because of the SE30.
And of course, Apple never missed 9 because they made us live there for so friggin' long.
922.
That's right.
And we're gonna
good times.
We've lived in we've lived in 10, even though it should be 11.
Yeah,
you think so?
Once you've had a big cats, you start 11, mate. But I think we'll never leave 10. There you go. There's my prediction. You'll be running OS telling you can on your Mac forever.
I like the fact that they name it places, but they wouldn't. I wish they didn't leave it stuck to like you know, California places, because I would love to be running like OS X Kilauea.
You know? Well, you know, maybe they'll run through California for a little while, and then they'll move on to Hawaii.
Hawaii's going to have better names than anywhere else in the US.
So if they stay on OS X, will I get OS X Norwich one day?
When they run out of places in America.
Yeah,
all the places in the UK, we're definitely not going straight to Norwich. I mean, seriously, I'll take Ipswich, maybe.
Oh, that's topic. That's close enough. That's, I had to slap someone from Norfolk. He's mentioned Suffolk, dude. I don't know if you've just realised that what you've done there, but that's like if Righty comes out to Macworld this year, mate, there'll be pistols at dawn over that. You're absolutely screwed.
When you call him pistols.
You'll be,
Dean
no,
Smith
I'm
is going to kick your ass.
You'll have your choice of epee or sabre. Jesus.
I'm going to call Delia right now.
Oh, yeah, she'll give you a rock cake between the eyes.
Delia, do you hear what they said? Yeah, really? Come on if you think you're hard enough. Okay, yeah, fine. Yeah, Delia's on the way.
Delia. Don't mess with Delia. She's already seen two husbands off. Sarah, what have you got for us, Mrs.? What OS did you bring?
What OS did I bring? Well, Arm have announced that they're bringing out a new operating system, very lightweight operating system that's designed for what's called the Internet of Things. And the idea is to make it easier for developers to actually come up with software for controlling devices like fridges and all sorts of things like that. And
I'm listening.
And it's due out early next year. But the idea is it's because it's so, it's the idea is it's meant to be very lightweight to make it a lot easier to actually do. At the moment, it's only going to work on one particular type of chip, one of ARM's chips. But obviously, with this kind of technology, it can grow from this, and you know that hopefully it will evolve into the next version. Next version, Intel will pick it up as well. I mean, this kind of thing for me is always more interesting than the latest version of Windows or OS X or Android or anything like that, because this is real life. This is the kind of thing. It's not just sitting at a computer using a phone or a tablet. It's actually using computer technology for actually improving things in everyday life. So this, you know, this story for me is really exciting.
Please, 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 would it be possible, before we get onto the Internet of Things and all the hypey bullshit that's around that, that my phone could stay paired to another Bluetooth device without crapping out?
Yeah,
that's just crazy talk, Ewan.
Okay, my mistake. Let's have an operating system.
No, I agree, Ewan. You think that the kind of stuff they'd get, they, you know, all that kind of stuff would be working perfectly.
Exactly.
And before we,
there is so much hype around the Internet of Things at the moment because Nutella said something about it that everyone, it's gone ballistic. And what the, you can't get two devices to talk to each other without going through a rigmarole or without entering terminal or without going to having a basic understanding of networking. My parents, give my parents a network related fridge, I will never get any sleep again. it scares the shit out of me.
No, Ewan, because you would be controlling it for them.
No.
There you go.
Because that's the point. That's exactly the point. I can't get back to my Mac to frigging work. How long has back to my Mac been around?
Oh, Jesus.
And how many people
You're
in
the
this
first
chat room...
person I ever knew who tried.
Exactly. How many people in this... I've got... Because, right, okay, here's the thing. My mom has got an iMac. Because I got sick and tired of having computer PCs, and I went up there and had to fix them with Windows on them. So we're having a Mac, Mum, and I can use back to my Mac. And I set it up, and it worked for a frigging week. And it's never worked since. It's a 2007 iMac, and it hasn't worked for 7 years. Back to my Mac has not worked for 7 frigging years.
Okay, sorry, I mentioned the Internet of Things.
No, that's I think the Internet of Things is a fantastic idea, but I'd like the shit that you've got now to work first, please.
No, I know. I just didn't expect my story to spawn that kind of...
Well, I'm sorry, Sarah.
No, I mean, I completely agree with you, Ewan. You're right. It should be basic stuff. That kind of stuff should have been long sorted ago. You know, and I know I touched on when we were talking about Windows versions, Fisher Price and stuff like that. But things just need to be...
Fisher Price, their shit works. Their shit works. What's the problem with that? See?
Push, it works.
Exactly. You pull it back, the car goes forwards. It's simple.
Mm. Yes, well, hopefully this will make it even easier.
So, I mean...
So we don't need the Internet of Things. What we need is the Fisher Price of things.
Yeah. Well, in a way, you're right, Jeff, because things need to just be as almost like intuitive and just happen, don't they?
Here's the question, Sarah. It's a genuine question. I get that things need operating systems because they're more complicated and they do more things. So like tills and stock control systems will run on Linux or they'll run on CE or something like that. All fine, all well
and
good.
That's not real life. That's a computer as a computer doing what a computer should
yes,
be doing.
Yes.
I'm talking about...
So my question is, let me finish my question,
sheets.
Woman. Let me finish my question.
Yeah, right, okay.
Why does my fridge need an OS? And why is this the OS that my fridge needs?
I can't think of any reason particularly for a fridge off the top of my head.
That should tell you something.
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, you're right. There are some basic things that you're probably right. They probably don't. But I can't think of anything at the moment. But there may well be. And if that capability is there, and you know, I mean, I guess because you never turn. It's not like you continually adjusting the temperature on the fridge. You kind of set it, and most people never set it, never change it, or you know, never even unplug the fridge or anything. It just sits there and does the job, doesn't it?
The latest bash exploit is going to be a freezer full of soggy meat.
Yeah, that was going to be a story, by the way, but I decided that this one was more interesting.
I'm interested in Internet of Things primarily for when I'm not home, which sounds weird, but I have some Philips Hue light bulbs set up at my house. And one thing that's really handy as we're entering the dark times is when I come home, those lights come on low so that I don't have to walk into the house completely dark.
Are those the ones that you can remote control and change the colors and stuff like that?
Okay, yeah, now they also make a white only version that you can turn just on and off.
Okay.
And then there's additionally, they have the ones that will change a bunch of colors. I have both.
Kelly, when you shut the front door, do the lights go off?
No, but once I'm out of the geofence, they will turn off if they're on. And then when I come home, the lights come on. And I like that. And it's a small thing that makes things that makes my life easier. And I like that I can set up, I have some of the other stuff set up with a home automation hub at my house. And I like that it finds out when the sun goes down. And 10 minutes before the sun goes down, the lights come on. I like that.
Absolutely. This is exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about, Kelly.
See, and that's I'm glad you agree with me. Not interesting thing at all. That is very, very useful.
Yeah.
It is useful. As I have a small person that lives at my house. She's like Kelly size. And she, for some reason, grew up as an adult who's afraid of the dark. So the fact that when she drives into the driveway, the lights come on and she walks into a house with the lights on, which is kind of, you know, to me, I think it's just ludicrous because we live in a secured building with like 20 security guards on the 16th floor and through two steel gates. So nobody can get in, but paranoia is paranoia. The fact that she no longer has to walk into a dark house means I don't have to come home unnecessarily early when I want to be out drinking with my friends. So dude, you're right. Dude, I agree with Kelly. It spend the money small, on, but it's a big deal to her. So I solved her problem. I'm cool. I'm out of trouble.
Dude, spend the money on therapy, not tech.
No, the light bulbs are way cheaper.
I'm stuck on this.
It turns out little people having to be afraid of crap.
I don't see where the refrigerator is necessarily a thing that I want to check unless you can turn it into something where I can tell, am I out of milk?
That's a big one, Kelly.
Like,
originally how it started at University of Hawaii, actually, there was a team here that invented a fridge that when you were to go to place the milk into the fridge, it would scan the barcode so it knows that's milk. And when it put it on the rack, you know that's weight. So a liter of milk should weigh X, right? So when it only has this much in it, it knows that you're down to a quarter liter. So when you drop it on the rack, it would know. And then so when you go to the store, the geofence would be like, hey, bro, you're at Safeway and you're out of milk. Because nothing sucks more than to come home, fire off a pot of Earl Grey, and the milk has turned south or there's no milk left. Because Earl Grey without milk is just BS.
I drink Earl Grey. It must be like to live in Doc Rock's world where the biggest tragedy you have is not enough milk for your tea. And what do I do with my laser beam? And it's sad. I buy a Tesla. Can we just take a minute about what a tragedy it is to be Doc Rock and have to struggle through each and every day?
I want to be back at the University of Hawaii when they've got a $2.5 million grant to do this intelligent fridge thing. And the guy sits and explains about the weight of the milk and you put it in and it senses and it does the barcode. And then it orders a new one when it's been used up. And someone's sitting there going, you took $2.5 million. To invent the mini bar in a hotel.
the one thing that they did, which was cool, unfortunately, you're right, it got taken away from us because our state wouldn't support it. And so now it went to San Francisco.
It's a hotel mini bar.
It was going to be built like a vault into the wall of the outside of a house that's like on the ground, right? So the delivery store like Amazon Local, they would actually be able to, with the one-time code, open the fridge from the outside, put stuff in, lock it, and then... You know, so you have like a fridge that's built in so the delivery people could actually fill the fridge for you from one side. And then,
okay, so I'm going to point out a second use for some of this stuff that is a real life use. We had a family vacation where a bunch of us all took a trip, a bunch of family, and we stayed in a rental home. And the rental home had a touch key, a keypad on the door lock. And so the people that we rented the house from sent an email, like everything was arranged over email, and they sent an email and said, here's the security code for while you're in the house. And then when we were done being in the house, when our stuff was done and we sent them an email and let them know that we were, you know, that we sort of checked out effectively because they didn't live in the same place where the vacation house was. They can change the code on the door and then the next people are secure because my code doesn't work anymore. Only theirs does. So I can't get back in later and be like, oh, let me go see if I can break into this house. It doesn't work. So that to me was a very, very useful thing. And I could see that being really handy. Like Doc was saying, for delivery people, like if you need to get in a door, you know, like my mom's old house had an airlock area in it, both of the doors locked, that you could at least set things inside. So somebody like a delivery person could have a delivery person code and then, you know, they can do that and set it inside and it keeps your package out of the weather or whatever. And I think that stuff like that is going to be really handy going forward. And again, not interesting, not neat, not cool. It's not like I get to use Siri to turn on my Christmas tree lights. It's just a very small, basic thing that is very cool if you are a person who is in need of that particular kind of technology. And I think things like with the door locks and with, because you see a lot more of that in cars too. Like you don't have to put a key in the ignition anymore. You just have to have it on you. And then when you hit power, it starts and you can't lock your stuff in the car anymore because it won't let you lock the door if it still senses that your key is inside instead of outside. That kind of stuff is really helpful.
Unless you've got a Toyota.
It's the whole point, isn't it, Kelly, that these things become so natural. Like there's things that we use in our everyday life now that do this for us that we don't even mm-hmm. think about. They become second nature. And it's how we improve life, which is why I think this is why, you know, I like this stuff so much, always have been, is where technology can be used for real life things, not just a computer in my hand, a computer on my desk.
I've got to take an issue a little bit with that, and this is not me picking on you,
what?
Sarah.
No.
He's disagreeing with me. I'm not picking on. No, right. Let's before this turns into hailing misogynist at me here. That's not that either. What I'm saying is, I think you've got to be careful because there is a fine line between technology providing for a better life and technology making you stupid. And everyone's f-ing gone again.
Hello.
That was fun.
Apparently, I got up to meet.
What did you get for disagreeing with me, Ewan?
Yeah, right.
So why were you going?
That's right. Kelly shut off your internet. through your refrigerator.
The lack of Internet of Things.
I've tried to explain to you life is so much better when you just do what I say.
Doc, are you back in?
Maybe not.
He'll be back in a sec. Right.
It wasn't just me then.
Take your issue, Ewan.
We're back. Right. So. I have to say this to you, because I think there is, and this is not a misogynist thing just because it's a woman making a point, I think there is a fine line between technology improving your life and technology making you stupid. And you'll be back in a minute. And the example I would give is, we went to see a friend a few years ago, and he went on holiday in Egypt, and he was showing me all the pictures that they took in Egypt, and he said, there's no way...
You have an incoming call from Paul Wright.
Virgin Media are getting a snotogram in the morning.
And that's not code.
No. So he was explaining, he said, there's no way the Egyptians built the pyramids because they're such a backward nation, there's not a chance of it. And his wife calls out from the kitchen window, Jason, where are the matches for the barbecue? And he kept going on about slagging off the Egyptians. I said, hang on a second, mate. If she can't find the matches, are we going to eat tonight? He said, what do you mean? I said, starting a fire, the most basic thing that a human has achieved ever, that's probably one of the most important things that a human's ever achieved. If she can't find the matches, could you start a fire so we can actually eat tonight on that barbecue? Well, no, I probably couldn't. Right, so, you know, don't slag off the Egyptians for overcoming stuff mechanically with their brains 8,000 years ago when you can't light a barbecue with that match. And I think that's the point is... There's certain things where an IP is required. There are certain things where an OS is required. But I think there's certain things where you shouldn't mess with it. It should be just a box that gets cold to keep stuff in.
Yeah.
And you should be required to make sure that the dates stay in yourself, not the barcode. Sorry.
Yeah, I agree with you. There are certain things, as you say, you don't need everything to be on every single thing to be on the internet. I completely agree with you. But there are plenty of possibilities of things where we can improve life and make life a lot easier and better.
And where there's improvement, I agree entirely. But I think you've got to be careful because I think that the technology makes you stupid line is something that, that comes up on you pretty thick and fast because you're doing something that you think is really, really cool. And actually, a couple of years down the line, you've forgotten how to do the most basic of things. I'm going to make the self-making bed. Well, fantastic. It improves everyone's life. I don't have to make my bed anymore. And then you can't remember how to make it.
Don't get me started on that, Ewan, because I can
I can have a self-making bed.
Calculator.
I mean, I make it myself, but...
No, I mean...
Well, like, here's the thing is that I think it's still valuable to have those skills. Like, you know, being able to read a map in, like, another 15 years is going to be a skill that a lot of people straight don't have.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm pretty competent out in the world because when I was growing up, you know, everything was analog. So I can dial a phone and I know how to put a quarter in a thing and make a phone call. And like that maybe a
shame is that there's none of those phones are still out there.
Yeah,
they are.
They're not in the UK.
But I think the refrigerator specifically is a bad example, but I think that there's a lot of things that could be easier. Like my mom has arthritis in her hands and feet. And my stepdad sometimes has trouble getting around. So it would be nice for them, like if they get in bed, it would be easy for my, it would be a lot nicer for my mom if she didn't have to get up and go all the way back through the house to make sure everything was off. If she could just check a display like on her phone and then set her phone on the nightstand and go to sleep. You know, if she has a way to hit a button and make sure everything's off, then she would feel better. And then it would also save her feet. So she would feel better.
Yeah.
So I think that there's a certain amount of value in it. I think the refrigerator specifically is just a bad example of this.
Well, I
things like using a Wemo switch so that, like I have a Wemo that I have my Zojirushi water boiler plugged into. And so I have it set so that the water's already hot when I get up in the morning. It starts about 10 minutes before I wake up so that everything is ready to go when I roll out of bed. That's convenient. But actual useful is like Doc was saying, being able to drive up in the driveway and have the lights come on. I think that that's a useful thing in a bunch of ways. Maybe not necessarily in Doc's specific case, but like where I grew up out in the wilderness where, you know, really seriously, there's a very real chance nobody can hear you scream. You know, it would be nice when you roll up in the driveway to be able to see if there's somebody there waiting for you.
Yeah, no, agreed. I think the health things as well are a bit of a slippery slope too. I mean,
my
parents have got a chairlift, and at the point they got that chairlift, I'm not sure they needed it, but now they definitely do because they use the chairlift, and it's not like a ski.
That is definitely a slippery slope if ever there was. Because you know, I don't know about you guys, but in my neighborhood especially, and I don't think it's because of population increase. I remember when I was a child, there was like normally no more than like two handicapped spots at anywhere. And they were open most of the time. Mm-hmm. Now there's like eight and all of them are full. But, you know, you're not supposed to guess because like I have had a friend who didn't look like there was anything wrong with her, but she got hit by a truck. So internally her bones were jacked. And while they were healing, she had to have a handicapped, you know, sticker. And because... Mm-hmm. You know, she was a young, attractive girl. Whenever we would go to the store, the security guards would always chase us down and yell at us because we were kids at the time. Like, why are you parking there? You're not supposed to park there. And she used to wear like the long, you know, sundress. And she would pull up to her legs and show the bolt sticking out of her legs. And then the guy would feel like crap. So I don't want to be the guy that thinking that, you know, everybody's faking. But how did we go from two spaces to eight to 10 and they're all full? And I kind of agree with you. And like, maybe... Some people pushed it so far out of just laziness and cheating the system, and now they actually end up getting that way. It's like taking a sickie and then actually getting sick 2 days later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we also have medical technology that's kind of leapfrogging itself. So we have the ability to extend human life a lot farther than we used to be able to.
Yeah.
So. Then we also have the problem where we have leapfrogged our ability to maintain our bodies medically, excuse me, beyond a certain age. So we have people that can live substantially longer, but we don't have the medical technology to make it so that they can live without their bodies deteriorating at the same time. So now we have a lot of older people that need those handicapped spaces simply because they're alive now. But had they been born 50 years earlier, they wouldn't have lived as long as they are now.
I think it's a good point. I mean,
we also just have a lot of older people, baby boomers. Like People are aging.
It's not just that. I think Jeff's made the killer point there that
yeah, you know, it's a twofold.
It's my point,
issue,
Kelly.
I think
Kelly, it's my point. Shut up. the point that I was going to add to Jeff's point there was that my parents have life, but they have no health, and they're 80s. So totally agree. Is everyone quiet now because they wait till we finish?
No. I mean, you think about it, that's also happened too financially too, right? You know, our parents and our parents before them were all told you had to basically make it to 70, 72, depending on where you lived, and you would be good. And then like my grandmother just passed away last year at a century mark. So wow. She outlived her earning potential by like 30 something years, you know, and that's happening more and more and more here in the U.S. To Kelly's point. What's happening is, and now they're running commercials on like, what is your real retirement age? Because it definitely is not going to be 72 like you thought. And are you going to run out of money, you know, when you get old? And so you got people that are outliving the health and capabilities of medicine, but medicine made them live longer. And now they're outliving the ability to pay for all of this stuff. So it's kind of crazy, but this is where hopefully some of this tech stuff can come in and help make some headlong stuff. But I agree with you, and it can get real stupid. And people can get to the point where they forget how to do real basic common sense things. Like, you know, Kelly mentioned that reading a map thing. You live in a tourist destination, you know good and well folks ain't reading maps no more. And since GPS is accurate that much, she's telling you to turn places. You see people doing this in front of you, and you just want to get out the car and beat the crap out of them. Like, hey, you know, get out of the way.
I think it's even more basic than that, Doc. I mean, you've got kids that can't add up because they're so used to using a calculator.
Roger that. That's so true. Yep. Me and my best friend were just talking yesterday about what do kids do now, because we got our paper routes. I don't want to mess you guys up. We got our paper routes. when we were young, and so we learned how to do basic things like you could not call in sick if you're the paper boy. You know, you had to be at work every day. And my dad and my mom and my grandpa explained it to me. That, you know, Mrs. Rosen depends on her paper. She sits on her front. She drinks her coffee and paper every day. You have got to get up. And it's 4:30 and snowing. And my dad or my grandpa would be like, I don't care. Get your ass up and go get Mrs. Rosen her paper. And so I learned that you got to do things at a young age. I don't think kids now get that. They don't have anything where a whole bunch of people depend on them at age 11 or age 12. And they become dependent on
cool.
Damn, did I kill?
Yeah, the audio disappeared a little bit there, but never mind.
But you good understand the point, though, right?
Good discussion. I want to talk about the Daily Show, the news show, because Carl Swagger has picked up the reins and is doing the news show all over again. Today's episode is called Gapgate, which is a reference to the Samsung Galaxy 4 thing, I think. The news show is something that I started. It was the very first podcast that we had on the network back when we were the Babel Tech Network. And it used to take me 3 hours a day to do. So I know the amount of work that this guy's going into. But Carl Swagger from The Matt Show has decided he wants to do the news show each day before he goes to work. And he is getting up, he's reviewing the news stories, and he's recording 5 minutes of news about the previous day's tech. And hats off to you, mate, because it is an absolutely superb job that you're doing, and I know how hard it is. And we've had a few reviews, and I just wanted to read a few of them out, because Kyle, based on the fact he only gets 5 minutes to go through the top tech stories of the day, can't be doing this. The first one is from Gloucester. Matt, welcome back. You've been missed. New show and the photo show back within days. Check out the other shows on the British Tech Network. They really deliver. Thanks for that, matey. Disappointed Hombre, is this all you have in the tech news? Is all you have, then this is the tech show for you. Carl Swagger has the vocal chops to make this an enjoyable, informal 5 minutes. Quickly keeps you up on the daily happenings in the world of technology. Andrew has put in, Kyle, I salute you, sir. As the kids like to say these days, it's epic. The length is just perfect. Chris, I've been a listener for over 4 years since the Bagel Tech days and watched most of the shows. Mac and Big are a must listen each week, but the Daily Show has been missed over the last 2 years. But let's remember that Ewan and the others do this out of pure love of it and don't get paid anything for it. Excellent shows. Kyle has come to the rescue and brought back a great show, published daily around 5 a.m. in the UK. So it's perfectly timed for most UK listeners' morning commute, morning motion, or morning cuppa. Thank you very much. And he says he's getting great value out of his Patreon deal. If you'd like to sponsor us, go to patreon.com/British Tech Network because they're the people that are doing it. Over 100 people now are doing it. So thank you very much. Nibs, Carl Swagger's doing a fabulous job of bringing all the Brits with a dose of tech news, all delivered in time for breakfast. Sterling work, Carl. Keep it up. And a fantastic return of the new show. A great little data blast of tech of the last 24 hours presented by the venerable Carl Swagger. Just the right amount of detail to keep you up to date with a nice side of funny as well. Top marks. Thank you from Anders. Good man. Thank you, Carl, for doing it, because it's a show that this network should have had all along, but I just never got the time to do it.
It is brilliant having that, like, when you wake up in the morning, just that 5 minutes when you're making the cup of tea, and it's obviously his timing, isn't it? I'll be in the Philippines, but it's amazing to have that, like, ready to go when you get up.
Well, Carl used to step in for me when I had a few days where I couldn't do it or something, and he always had it out bang on 6 o'clock in the morning, and I always said to him, you are in the perfect time zone for this show. It is ideal for you to do this. And he thought about it and he said, I want to do it. Have it, mate.
Superb. That's really cool.
Superb.
And Jeff, he's amazing at it as well.
What sex toy
did you? Very good.
What sex toy did you bring for us this week?
Well, okay. So, how about if I start with something that's not sex?
Oh,
which is kind of weird. I know.
Holy crap! Go on.
I know. I just think it's so cool that India launched a probe to Mars, the first time they've done this, and it got there and it works, and so the India's Mars probe went into orbit several days ago and has been working perfectly, and so now we're getting all kinds of new data about Mars that we weren't able to collect before. And so the idea of sending stuff to Mars, I mean, the United States has what, three surface rovers right now, plus actually they're not all working anymore, but we also have orbital probes. And so there, you know, on first glance you'd be like, okay, well, you know, that's no big deal, but the success rate for sending a probe to Mars is 40%. So for India to be able to do this on their first shot was pretty impressive. And it's a probe that's going to be able to give us a lot of information about Mars that we wouldn't have had otherwise. And I have to point out that Bat Winch totally turned this into sex, because she is noting that I'm talking about a probe.
Yes, of course. I mean, I don't believe this, actually, to be honest, because if you remember what a success Beagle 2 was, then...
I was actually really bummed about the whole Beagle 2 thing, and then especially when it turns out that someone forgot to switch between metric and imperial for measurements.
Dude, you cancelled
that. Did not reflect poorly. No,
don't be throwing stones here, Sunshine. You got rid of the entire shuttle program because of that. You built everything imperial. And so you couldn't get any fresh parts. That's why you scrapped the shuttle missions.
And see, and that's a sad thing too.
And totally. There we go. And I'm sure we had the same problem with Concorde. But have you picked the story because there's a Lego Cujo thing doing that? No?
There isn't yet. However, there is a Lego Ideas, formerly Cuso, project for the... It's one of the telescopes.
Curiosity?
No, it's not for Curiosity. It's
It should be.
Crap. It's a telescope. But which telescope?
Hubble.
No.
Yes, thank you. It's for the Hubble. There's a really cool CUSO project for Hubble, and it looks great.
It's only four pieces, and you have to finish it off with jam jars from your own house.
Yes. So, it, just like the real Hubble.
Okay. Just like real Hubble. They finished that with jam jars as well.
They did.
Yeah.
And they had to get them up really high, but once they had them there, there you go. They had to make sure they were clean, because at first they thought they'd found an entire new galaxy, but it turned out that it was just some strawberry jelly.
Bit of rat shit.
Yeah.
Jeffrey, Superman. I got to say, actually, there was a nice picture tweeted out, and it was, listen, sci-fi writers, this is what it looks like when scientists get things right on a mission. And it was it was a load of ladies in saris all giving each other big hugs.
Yes, I loved that
photo. That was an awesome photo.
That was just awesome.
Yeah. Kelly, what did you bring for us, girl?
Yes. I have something that is only... It's an Apple tool, but it's only mildly Apple-y. I think it's a good tech story, so that's why I'm bringing it. So feel free to mock like you needed my permission. Apple now has an activation lock status tool that you can use. So if you buy a phone or an iPad secondhand, you can go and enter the information into this page from Apple, and then they will tell you if it's locked or not. Because, you know, since iOS 7... with Find My iPhone and everything, there's like an activation lock. So if I sell you my phone, but I don't go through the extra steps to unlock it first, then you can't use it. And so it ends up being a brick, like a $400 or $500 or $600 brick that you can't do anything with. And I know this is going to sound crazy to a lot of people, but sometimes when you answer a one ad and you buy a phone and you buy it from somebody who only wants cash and doesn't really want to meet you in a public place, and then you buy it from them and then it doesn't work for you because of this activation lock thing, sometimes it's hard to get a hold of that person again and you know, get worked out, like undoing the activation lock. So this is very cool, I think. It's really nice that they're doing something for people who are rebuying phones. So
that's a good point, because I mean, I've never bought a secondhand phone, but if you do, you do take your life in your hands a bit.
And so I think it's a super handy thing that they're doing. And all they're doing is, like, there's no judgy sort of anything out there. It's just, here's activation lock. You can check. And that's all it is. It's got a little paragraph. I pasted a link to the story that Jeff wrote this morning on Mac Observer about this.
And everyone's frozen again. I have no idea how this is managing to do
this. What the crap? Anyway, it's a useful tool, and I'm glad that Apple put it out there, because I think that this will save a lot of people a lot of grief and a lot of heartache, and I want everybody to know about it so everybody can use it. The end.
Jolly good. Excellent. It's a cool thing. It is a cool thing, most definitely. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by the Network Union. They're absolutely superb. They support us like you wouldn't believe. We've got all the pipe work in here that's... that needs a bit of an overhaul. we'll check it out and find out what's causing this, but it does seem a bit weird. I don't think it's the service provider. They've given us a load of support over the last few months, but if you've got MPLS, WAN, if you're a SIP system, that kind of stuff, then these are the people that can help you. If you exist with BT as a customer already, then they're the ones that can make sure that your service runs like silk. Give them a call and find out what they want to do. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and click on their link and give them your email address. They will contact you and you tell them how you think they can help you, and vice versa. If you've got if you're an existing BT contract, nothing will change. You just re-sign within a different area of BT, and you'll be have your account managed by the Network Union. If you're in America, don't worry, because you've got Massagi, who are based out of Dallas, and Network Union are also agents for them as well, as so you can get support through from them in the States too. They're an absolute brilliant bunch. And also, if you're a consultant who's working within a business, and you can put the Network Union forward to the person who is the decision maker for the main systems, then please do that, and just let the Network Union know that you've put their name forwards. Obviously, there's no decision that can be made by you, but just let our sponsors know that you've tried on their behalf. That would be really cool. Thank you very much, and thank you to Robert and the team down there for supporting us for the last few months. And also, of course, UK2. They're brilliant. We've got everything with them. They've got unlimited bandwidth, unlimited storage. Every show we've ever produced as a British Tech Network is on the server. You can go and get it. If you keep going back through the shows, you will go back to the year dot. And we never run out of bandwidth. We never fall over, hardly. I think we've had two occurrences in the last 3 years where we've lost the server for 30 minutes or so. Their support is second to none. Their after sales and the team down there go well above and beyond. And Paul Wheatley's got all of his stuff with them. I've got all of my stuff with them. Lots of people have got all of their internet service provision with them. And they're brilliant. Please, please, please check out UK2 sponsors page again on the British Tech Network. And also, it's the Bash. The Northern Bash, yes, from 3 p.m. on Saturday the 6th of December. We will be playing games and drinking and having fun at the Tweed Bank Hall on the Scottish Borders. There'll be the Gamer Show quiz as well, in which everyone will vainly attempt to try and beat Chiz and will fail miserably. And we'll then have a curry in. And it's bring your own booze, though. So the reason it's only a £5 a ticket is because it's just paying for the hall effectively. So once the hall's paid for, that'll be it. Bring your own booze and split the price of the curry, but the rest of the time it's just loads and loads of good fun. And then about midnight it'll wrap up. If you go to the British Tech Network page, you will see a banner on there which has got some further details. It'll tell you the postcodes, where the venue is, and that kind of stuff. And if you just put those venues into a hotels.com kind of thing, then they'll show you what the guest houses are and that kind of things in the area. There's no main chain, so you're not going to be staying at Premier Inn or Travel Lodge or anything like that, or Marriott. The nearest Travelodge, Marriott, etc. is going to be probably Edinburgh Airport, or in the centre of Edinburgh, or down into Berwick. So it's all little guest houses. But I've booked mine today, £42 for the room, including breakfast and free Wi-Fi. And it's 2 miles from the actual event. So I think there's probably only one other room at that place left, if there was even two to start with. So there you go. Book it up and have fun. I'll be driving from Birmingham on Saturday the 6th. I'll probably leave here about 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. So if you want to drive up, we can get 7 people in my car. I will gladly share the ride with a pile of you. So get your butt over to Birmingham and my house, and I'll drive the rest of the way. There we go. Right.
You need Elon's Big D, then you can get more people.
Yeah, more people, less batteries. Cool things. Kelly, start us off. What have you got?
Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, I was complaining about the Bluetooth in my car, or more accurately, I was complaining that I didn't have any Bluetooth in my car.
Yeah.
And somebody had pointed out that there were Bluetooth receivers you could get that will plug into the aux port, the 3.5 millimeter jack that I have on my stereo. So I bought one. So I bought this one, which is the MPOW StreamBot Mini. It uses Bluetooth 4.0, and I've got the rest of the box here, and you can kind of see how big the opening is in the box. And this is a 32 gig flippy top flash drive, so I can give you an idea of how big it is. It's only, you know, like 2 flash drives wide, just about. And it's very small, fits in my car. I paired it up without a problem. Charged it, and so far it's working great. I don't drive a whole lot of places, but so far it's been working really well. And I got mine on Amazon. It was about $20 or $25 for the one that I got. And so far, like I said, it's been working really well. So I'm really glad about it, because I'm not going to be able to afford one of the CarPlay systems or anything anytime soon. So this is a good solution.
You need an aux in, don't you, with that? But
as long as you got aux in, like, my stereo was advertised as being iPod compatible when I bought it, and what that meant was it had an aux port in the back. So if you have any sort of aux cable capability but you don't have Bluetooth, this is a really easy way to get it.
It's not getting any power, though, is it? You just take a, what kind of battery? Is it double A's or something, or?
No, it's got a micro USB port, so occasionally I will probably have to plug it in.
So it's chargeable, yeah.
Yeah, you charge it. Cool. I have a friend who has the previous edition of this that's Bluetooth 3.0, and he has a 40-minute commute each way, and he says he charges it once a month.
Excellent. Available for $17.99 at the moment with Prime.
Nice.
Woo!
Yeah.
We like that. That's good. I've got the transmitter that I got from Amazon as well, and that works really, really well. But the problem you've got is with the transmitter, you get like a double feedback kind of thing going on with it. But
yeah, and I haven't tried it. It will do speakerphone. It does have a microphone in it, but I haven't tried that yet because nobody's called me while I've been driving. So, but so far it was a piece of cake to install. It's a piece of cake to use. I just paired up and it does have a control on it. So if I can't use my phone to control anything, you could kind of feel the volume buttons and there's a play pause button that you can use. And so far it's been really great. And now I have Bluetooth in my car and it cost me like $25.
Superb.
I'm really excited.
I think I made that suggestion as well. So me and Kelly are friends
again
now.
And somebody in the chat room also said, well, why don't you just go get a Bluetooth receiver for your car? And I'm like, I didn't know that was a thing. And now I do. And I got a recommendation for the previous version of this, picked up this one, and it's awesome.
Excellent. Doc, what do you have for us, sir?
I have two things. Well, one and two, kind of.
Could you move the microphone a bit closer, mate? You're a bit quiet, old boy.
I said, okay. How's that? Is that better?
That's better.
All right. So I recently received this in the mail, and I know this just looks like a weird clippy thing, but most of people who know me, I am an addict of everything rickshaw. So that is a rickshaw, custom made for Doc, by the way, iPhone 6 Plus case that fits in, and it has little things on the back, so that way it straps perfectly to my matching rickshaw commuter bag. Okay, so this just goes right on the strap, kind of like the one I had there for the old iPhone, right? Everybody see that?
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah. So you'll notice this bag is very bright. A, I'm an orange freak. B, when I went to Rickshaw, my annual Macworld Mecca, like 2 years ago, they had some remnant left over of this bright, glowy 3M, highly reflective, please don't get hit while we're doing construction fabric. And I asked the girl, I said, hey, can you guys make me a bag out of that? And she's like, well, not normally, no, but I guess we have like a little bit left over. So I'll just put the order in. So I got that made for me. Well, I guess it was a one-off for some people that they had, but it hadn't really become a thing. Well, Mark DeWight, the CEO of Rickshaw, he decided to turn it into a real deal thing. So if you check out the, they have a Kickstarter, and he's coming out with the amazingly awesome reflective backpack. Backpack by Rickshaw Bagworks.
Yeah.
And basically, he took the Sutro backpack, which is their tall, skinny, like really epic one, and he figured out a way to work it into a performance tweed. So you got like a little Sherlock's home thing going on your back, but when the car creeps up behind you on the M6, well, maybe you shouldn't ride on the M6, your bag will light up like all to be damned to make sure that that person doesn't accidentally run into you. And so this is really great. If you live somewhere that's very bike friendly, and unfortunately, nobody's going to yell at me, but my town is like 87% Asian. So riding my bike is a death wish. So hence the reason why I had that made. And it's cool to see that it now turned into a real product. So somewhere between tourists who aren't from here and all the old Japanese ladies who never had a car until she moved to the U.S. now are driving a lead sled, I'm not going to get killed on my bike. So if you're a bike person or you just want to buy a bag that's highly reflective, I would say check these guys out. It's super, super amazing. Mm-hmm. And thank you, Mr. Mark DeWight and the team at Rickshaw.
Excellent.
And I'm just going to point out that everything that you get from Rickshaw is made right there at the place where you ordered it. It's made right there in the place where they have the storefront. So it all comes from one spot. You can ask people questions. You can get a super duper customized bag made, like Doc Rock was saying. The other thing they also do for Doc is they give him longer straps, so that
you can say Fat Boy straps. I ain't scared of that. I call them Fat Boy straps, and they make them just for me because I'm huge compared to the skinny little hipsters in freaking San Francisco.
And I can get a bag with shorter straps on it, so that I don't have all the dangle of the strap because I don't need all that strap. So that's also helpful. And everything they build is really solid. Like, it survives Doc. It survives me. It survives Patrice has a couple of bags. I know he's in the chat right now. Like, people who are not necessarily delicate, because everything that's inside it needs protected, not the bag itself. And everything they make is really, 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 really solid. And I cannot recommend them highly enough.
And this is all waterproof, by the way.
The whole reason he went there is because I said, you need to go check these guys out. They're awesome.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. It's become a crack addiction. Sam, I learned it from Sam Levine, like the very first Macworld where I met, you know, the rest of the 2-Hour staff. And from that moment on, it was like just something I heard about on the internet, but never really checked out. And then from hearing about it from Sam, I ordered my first one online, and it just became, it's the only guys I buy bags from. And I, like Kelly said, I love the fact that they can just make it any way you want. You can send them an old pair of jeans, and they'll find a way to work it into a bag.
Excellent. Righty, what have you got for us, sir?
Well, I'm going to blame Mr. Lee Garrett for this one, because he blogs a lot about kind of improving workflows at work and that kind of thing. And I used to use a lot Clear for iPhone, which is the to-do app. But it's amazing. It was so simple to use. And I didn't realize that it transferred to iPad so smoothly. So it's a great little app where you can drag down and you can put little kind of... You can say, I'm going to do this, and when you do it, you swipe across and you say, I've done it, or you can set them for later. But it now syncs with iCloud as well. And it's just a great... I've tried, like, you know, Wunderlist and all those sort of things, but I think it's like $1.99 in the UK. But for a to-do list that's so simple and just uses the kind of touch feature of the iPad and the iPhone, just the best little to-do app, and you can sync it across multiple iCloud accounts and... just does the job. It just is so simple. And if you just want to get things done and just mark them off or save them for later or anything like that, it's just the best little app in the world. But it's on iPhone and iPad, but it syncs across iCloud. So anything you put on your iPad, it goes to your phone and vice versa. Absolutely brilliant.
What's the name again?
Clear.
Clear. And what's the price?
I think it's $2.99. $1.99, and then it's obviously cross-compatible. But obviously you can set up multiple lists and all that sort of thing. But you can sit here, you can go, I've done that, and it puts it to the bottom, and then you can then clear the list. It just does a really good job. But for all the to-do apps, I know there's kind of things like Wunderlist and like the free, and there's free in-app purchases. I'd rather just pay the money and just enjoy the app and just kind of just get things done. But absolutely brilliant.
Excellent, mate. Good one. Thank you very much. Jeffrey, what do you have for us?
I actually have two things today, and both of these come from regular show watchers. And the first one is a suggestion that Batwinch gave me, and this is for a Kickstarter project that is just like beyond cool. There's a guy that is a Lego designer, and he has created a plan for a 13-foot long Star Destroyer from Star Wars. And so he has this Kickstarter so he can build this thing, and it's going to be illuminated from the inside and look just absolutely beautiful. And the plan is to create this thing so that it can go around to different conferences and shows and go on display. And this thing is just like crazy cool looking. So yeah, 13 feet long. It's going to have like 90,000 Lego bricks in it, and it just looks crazy cool. And the other thing that I have, this came from Mueller Biker, and you can go ahead and play the music now if you want to.
No,
because
I thought you should have been playing it for the 13-foot.
Come on.
Yeah, well, okay, so this kind of fits in with the Star Wars theme as well. This is called the Hand Solo. And so this is think of it sort of as a stimulator. It's a cock taco, I guess. And it's so that you can masturbate with this thing. And when I saw it last week, I started to laugh at first because of the name. But as the week progressed, I started thinking, wait a second, this would actually be really cool to have someone else use on you. So I was thinking, you know, this is just one of those things that you keep tucked away for those special moments when you're like, yeah, you know, let's kind of do the hand job thing. But hey, check this out. And
the next word out of your mouth,
that's called the Angela! Hand solo.
I was thinking, and then I thought, Angela!
Did you say Angela?
And it's got, you could get a firm grip with this by the looks.
It's only got 2 stars.
Has it?
I haven't looked. 2.5. 2.5 stars.
I dread to think what the customer
they're holding it wrong.
I really don't see the benefit of this ice. I'm sure it vibrates, but nothing mind-blowing. Actually, a little soap in the shower produces a nice sensation that beats this.
But beats. I like the company name. It's from a company called Rocks Off Limited. So
not a winner for the wiener. Really doesn't work very well.
The awesome
at all.
Thing is, I was able to talk about this, and I kept a straight face the whole time.
Yeah,
you're welcome.
That's true. You did.
Useless, weak vibe, and small. Feels good. Just wish that the vibrator had switch had an on-off option instead of having to constantly hold the button down. Oh, that's just going to kill it for you right there.
Well, you see, that's why you have a friend help you out.
You can't. I was going to say you can't have a sex device that's hold to run. That's just.
One star.
Perverted. Jesus.
That's why you need a friend.
And useless, weak vibe, and small. 1 star. This is freaking hilarious.
And last.
The shoes are better than the pick.
But by no means least, it's frozen Sarah.
Oh, no.
Sarah?
Oh, poor Sarah.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Oh, she's back. Now she's moving.
I was just sorting the video.
You had a look on that freeze frame. You had a look on your face which looked like you did not approve of Jeffrey's pick in the slightest.
I was just thinking, I was actually concentrating and thinking, how on earth do I follow that?
It's not with an operating system, I can tell you that.
No. Unfortunately, it's nothing as exciting as Jeff's.
Because Jeff picked a peripheral as well, so...
That's true.
I'm trying to think how I could answer that, but I can't think of anything.
Just go with what you had.
Yeah. Mine is incredibly boring compared with Jeff's. But it's something that I found incredibly useful. Now I have to say before I start that this is specifically for O2 users, I think in the UK, but I don't know whether other countries have it or have the ability to use it or not. But it's an application which you can run on your tablet or I don't know why you'd run it on your phone. But
No! It's stopped.
Hurrah!
Hurrah!
Okay, now it's a party again.
Right, Sarah, okay. Your application is on O2.
It's called Togo, and the idea of it is so that if you're out of the country, and like, you know, when I'm in Ireland, I've actually got an Irish mobile, so I swap my SIMs over, which means I don't have direct access to my UK mobile number. But with this app, I don't need to worry because it means I can actually pick up my text messages, send text messages, make phone calls and receive phone calls through my UK phone number using the wonders of the internet, making use of my contract that I have on O2, which is great. It's because when I'm in Ireland, if I need to make a phone call in the UK, I'll just use this app, knowing that I'm using my O2 contract in the UK instead of actually using using my Irish number, which makes life so much easier, and I don't have to worry about missing phone calls or text messages or anything like that.
Nice.
Excellent.
It is a fab app. I mean, it really has made life a lot easier with having 2 numbers and only 1 phone.
Yeah, I mean, they were going on about Apple going on about the LTE thing and voice over LTE and stuff like that, but I thought to myself, there's voice over Wi-Fi already, and it was Togo.
Yeah, it's perfectly... Mm-hmm. Perfectly possible, but I don't know whether Vodafone or any of the other airtime providers actually provide a similar thing. But I was absolutely amazed when this came out, and I think I was probably one of the first people to use it in the UK.
Yeah, no, it's good. Excellent. That's a good pick, real good pick. I'd remembered in my head the name Togo, but and I knew we'd done voice over Wi-Fi before when Apple were talking about it, but good that it works more than anything.
It does. It is fab too.
My cool thing is something that actually I only got real benefit from the other week, and it's Starwalk on iOS. I've recently gone back to an iOS phone because the 6 Plus is gorgeous. But I always had Star Warp, but actually I'm fairly good around the night sky for the things that I can see with my telescope, because my telescope's not hugely powerful, so I ain't seen Andromeda with it and that kind of stuff. But I pulled this out again the other night, and I went over to a job down in London, and I stopped in Warwickshire on the way home at about 2:30 in the morning. And this is a bit blurry as a picture, unfortunately, because it was so dark I couldn't even focus the camera. But I got so much of the sky. I've never seen a sky like it in my entire life. But the reason I want to pick Starwalk is because I've never been in a sky with so many stars in it where I couldn't tell where any of the stars were, because everything was so much brighter. It meant I lost a lot of the constellations that, when I'm in Birmingham, I can only see those constellations. In the Birmingham sky, there's only 25 stars to choose from. You go out there and there are billions and billions and billions and billions. And the depth, wow, as my eyes got better and better and better, I could just see more and more and more stars, to the point that the sky was a mat of dots, white dots. And the thing that saved me and got me pointing in the right direction was Starwalk. It's the first time I've ever used it and really relied heavily on it. It's not cheap. I think it's $5.99 in the UK store, but it's well worth buying. And if you're in a dark area where you get really good views of the sky, it's a must-have application for you. And they do a version of it for Windows Phone as well. So I know that because I had it on my Windows Phone before. But with a 6 Plus the other night in the complete and utter dark, now what I need is an app that helps me focus my camera on distant stars, because I made a right cock-up of it.
See,
I'm old and blind.
Is it on Android as well, Ewan?
I wouldn't be surprised, because if they've done it for Windows Phone, I think they probably do it for Android already. So, But yeah, Starwalk.
Are you keeping that phone then?
I am. Last day today is to take it back, isn't it? So it's got to go back tomorrow if it's going to go back.
That's why I thought, yeah.
But no, I'm keeping it for the video. The video is just...
It's great, doesn't it?
It's awesome.
Is that the Plus that you've got, Ewan?
Yeah, I got the 6 Plus. And
yeah, I had a play with one yesterday. I was quite impressed, actually.
I don't know if you're going to be able to see this, because I can't actually... Let's get a bit closer. This is made a chocolate cake with Bryony the other week, and this was the mixer. And it goes into slow-mo, 240 frames a second, and it is just absolutely beautiful. I am overawed by the video capabilities of this phone. It's superb. Superb, superb, superb. Can't fault it.
Oh, yeah, I say it.
Absolutely excellent.
Does it bend, Ewan?
I'm sure it does with my fat ass on it, but I have made sure not to put my fat ass on it. So
okay.
There we go.
Yeah, I do apologize for the people from Norwich who did go and bend iPhones in the Apple store.
Did you see the billboard? So there is a billboard that's got a slight curve billboard at one end to fit it, and it was bent at exactly the right point in the iPhone. It was horrific. You can see someone from Apple going, take it down now, now. I don't care what you're doing. Go and take it down. Right, where can we get a hold of you, Ms. Kelly?
You can find me on Twitter and app.net and LO as Verso. You can also find me over at the Mac Observer and sometimes on the Mac Observer's Daily Observations podcast, like today, where I was especially ranty about the current state of iTunes.
So I heard. Righty boy, where are you, sir?
On Twitter at Paulums and forever on British Tech Network, and a Windows 10 review coming soon.
Excellent.
Cool.
Very soon. Doc, where are you, sir? You're on mute. That's where you are.
There you go. I muted on purpose because I thought that sizzling noise was me, but it's not me. It's one of you turds. Anyway, I'm working on my new project with Dr. Allgood, MacUser.pro, where we're making a website to help people who run businesses become more efficient at using their Mac, as they are all professional Mac users. They just don't know it yet.
Excellent. Ian Lewis is chipping in the chat room and say, Ewan, just put the lens to infinity. I did put the lens to infinity.
Did you put it to infinity and beyond?
No, it went beyond. That's the infinite, that length, that focal length there is exactly on infinity. I wore a helmet with a light torch on it, and I set it exactly on infinity because I know they've got a tendency to go beyond if you're not careful, and I set it bang on infinity and it was blurred, and it was the 16-35mm lens that Ian knows I've had trouble with in the past. So I might be having a word with my supplier there, because it none of it was in focus. It was awful. It was a bit of a slow exposure, but even so, I'd have expected a few of them to be bright points of light. Jeff, where are you, sir?
Do you have a telescope?
I do have a telescope. I've got a Skywatcher 200.
He does.
Does it have a standard issue eyepiece?
I've got loads of eyepieces for it, and a Barlow as well.
All right, I'm going to send you a Snap Zoom, and you're going to take your Windows phone or your iPhone 6 Plus, and you're going to stick it in it, and you're going to connect the Snap Zoom to your telescope, and you're going to take perfect pictures of whatever you want from the sky. Check out snapzoom.com and you'll know.
Yeah, deal. Superb. Having said that, I did, we had Chris Woods down for the bash, and we got my telescope out when we were all pissed, pointed it at the moon, and Chris was there with people's cell phones taking pictures of the moon, and he actually took one with the Windows phone that I've got, which is a DNG, and it's huge, and it was absolutely gorgeous. So yeah, no, that'd be great. I love taking pictures through my camera, but it's through my telescope, but it's a pain in the ass setting the camera up and getting it right. Jeffrey, where are you, sir?
How about over at MacObserver.com and at FreshBrewedTales.com, where I talk about the things that I see people do in coffee shops. And on Twitter, I am Jay Gamut. And I have Elo now, too. So I'm Jay Gamut there. And Apple Context Machine, TMO Daily Observations, and the iOS Show podcast. I'm kind of all around.
We know. You just get anywhere, mate.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
You can't be a bit of Jeff.
with Marmite and butter. And last but by no means least in the slightest, Sarah. Where
always are best you? With Marmite. Everything's better with Marmite.
Absolutely.
Good girl.
The best place to get me is on Twitter's at Sarah Jane UK.
Excellent, missus. Thank you very much for coming along. Good to see you again.
Yes, good to be back.
My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. I might try a photo show tomorrow, but I've got to go and price a job up in the morning, so I might. It depends whether I'm back or not. But we're definitely doing the Mac Show. That's at 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. And the weekend, who knows? See you soon. Thanks for listening.